a new world users as speak. I have collected quite a few questions about this. So we will run through some of the questions with you. And before that, I'll try to explain what you have to see again. We turn to Matthew chapter 3. We look at verse 15. Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. Here it talks about John. Jesus asked John, instructed John baptizing. And obviously, initially, John tried to prevent him and saying that he needed to be baptized by Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Okay, I have been thinking about this here. Why did Jesus say that his baptism by John the Baptist is to fulfill all righteousness? Okay, I think probably we can look at it in this way. First, because Jesus is the only righteous person, right? And so according to the scriptures, no one is righteous, right? Now, like what we said before, the baptism of Jesus is an example that he was sent for the church, okay? And as we all know that when we are baptized, we participate in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Now, so Paul also tells us when we are baptized, we put on Christ, okay? So by going through baptism, we are made righteous in the sense because our sins are touched and washed away, right? So it seems that the only way for us to become righteous in Christ Jesus is by going through baptism. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So when we are baptized, we are made righteous, and our righteousness but can remain with us insofar as we remain in Christ. Okay? Meaning if we keep ourselves in the Lord, then we find that we shall be righteous throughout. Now, we know that if we are found not righteous, I think we cannot be saved, right? So the only way is to remain in Christ. Before that can happen, we need to be baptized into Christ. Okay? This is how I look at it. Now, if I ask you a question apart from this one, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, okay, can you tell me what are the reasons for Jesus to get baptized? That's why I think it's important for us to look at all the relevant passages concerning the baptism of Jesus in order to, to answer this question accurately. So what other reasons do you think, that Jesus requested John to baptize him? Apart from this, apart from fulfilling all righteousness, what are the reasons? What do you mean? Anyone?
Just an example for us to follow.
Okay, apart from that, beside that.
Fulfill prophecy.
What prophecy?
John, that Christ was, that John came to carry away.
How is that linked to the baptism of Jesus?
Because we know that it was prophesied that Jesus was going to come to save us, to prepare a way. So there's a prophecy that he would
Are you talking about John chapter 1? Verse 29, is it verse? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he came for baptized.
No, I thought there was a prophecy in the Old Testament that talked about, it's linked to, there's a world, I think it's in Isaiah, that he was in the wilderness, John the Baptist was going to be...
Oh, the voice, isn't it?
Yeah, but isn't there also a link between Jesus coming? No? Have I invented it? I thought there was a prophecy in the Old Testament.
Yeah, but there is. I mean, the prophecy is there, but I don't know. I can't see the connection. I think you're talking about chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 23. Am I right? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Is this the one you're talking about? This is the quotation from Isaiah chapter 4.
Yeah.
This one? Okay. Maybe we need to think a bit deeper to see the connection. We look at verse 29, down to verse 34. Okay. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And now 31, yeah? 31, it says, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. Okay? It seems that verse 31 talks about two reasons. Yeah? Because John did not know him. And also, John baptized him for the purpose of revealing Jesus to Israel. Is that also? Yeah? Okay? Now, so if you look at it, verse 32, how did John come to know that Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit? Now, I think 32 gives us the answer. Verse 32 gives us the answer. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And John confirmed that this is the Son of God. Can you see how? Right? So the vision of the Spirit descending upon Jesus, yeah, is to confirm to John that he is the one who came and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that is also a confirmation that he was the Son of God. So you know, it's not like some people that have suggested baptism of Jesus actually tell us that there are three persons in Godhead. Actually, that is not true. Judging from John chapter 1, that is not true. Okay. Now, I think the first point is mentioned, and that is the ignorance of John is like in a way was answered. Okay. He was given answer. Now, what about the second one in verse 31? He should be revealed to Israel. That's why when you read this, certain passages of the scriptures, you have to read in great details, all the important facts, points. You must try to understand them as well. Okay. Now, I want you to read Mark. So we go through all the relevant passages. Now, please turn to Mark. We read chapter 1, Okay, now verse 9. Yeah? It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth, from Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Okay? Obviously, you say Jordan is the river, so it's like a living water. Okay, now verse 10. And immediately coming up from the water, when he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. You know, many, many years ago, there's a movie. I think it's Jesus. I think the first version. You know, in the movie, it talks about how Jesus was baptized. It says with Father God. Okay? And it's true. I'm not joking. See? Yes. Okay. Now, the point is, you know, yesterday, I think one school who's the lecturer talked about the 12 teachings of the apostle, the didache, something like that. It's the, you know, after the apostle, and what do you call it, 12 teachings of the apostle, the book actually introduces the practices of the apostolic church. You know, at the initial phase of the church, you see that they baptize people with I think you can check it up yourself. How do you like that? How do you call it? CHE? What's that?
I've never seen it.
I've never
heard of that.
I can't spell it. Okay, never mind. Now, okay, the point I'm making is this, yeah? So let's assume that, okay, here Jesus is facing baptism head bound. Now, if you look at this hand, immediately coming out from the water, he saw the heaven parting and the Spirit descending like that. If we say the baptism here is a full immersion, okay? Now, you find that when Christ was baptized, he actually came up from the water and he saw the heaven on. Now, you can imagine if someone were to be baptized this way, then he would not be able to come up from the sun. Is that not true? Right? That's the
deduction,
yes. No, I'm trying to use all the possible facts in the scriptures to explain about Jesus. Okay? Now, we turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. We read verse 21 and 22. Luke chapter 3, 21, 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, for his breath and heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like that upon him, and a voice came from heaven which says, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, if you have read the account in Matthew and Mark, can you notice the difference between Luke and the other two accounts? Sorry?
Other people were baptized with him.
Many people were baptized with him. Okay? Right. Now, so with this, when you look at John chapter 1, go back to John chapter 1. Verse 31. Now, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. Now, how was Christ revealed? Did he reveal himself? No, it's the voice, is it? Yeah? So when the voice says, oh, this is my beloved son, you know, there were so many people around. So it's obviously it's more effective than for Jesus to tell, hey, look, I'm the son of God. No one will listen to me. You get what I'm saying? So the voice is to be like confirmed, yeah, to the masses, or to the people, the crowd, the client, that point. Jesus was the son of God. You get what I'm saying? So from here, can you see the purpose of his baptism? You see?
Yeah, 3 points.
Okay. The first is to fulfill all righteousness. Basically, it talks about why baptism is so important and how we can become righteous, to fulfill all righteousness. Secondly, to confirm to John that Jesus was the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Meaning, Jesus is the one who gives the Spirit. Right? Now, number two, to reveal Jesus to this room. Okay, so from here it's what it is. So, it's the reasons. Yeah, why Christ was baptized. Yes.
I'm thinking that, from the other angle, so if Jesus did not receive the baptism, is there any detriment? I'm thinking that another thing that I'm not sure that you can say is that by receiving baptism, that Jesus validated John the Baptist's word.
Validate to confirm his word.
Yeah.
Can you explain a bit?
Uh-huh. Well, that's where you come in.
You mean without Jesus being baptized, or without John baptizing him, so what? His work cannot be confirmed. That's it.
There's something. Well, John the Baptist is the one who was prophesied to pave the way for Christ.
Okay.
And now, if he's baptized, everyone there's anyone who comes to repent, and then here comes Lord Jesus, and then he cannot receive a baptism. But in some way, that's why I'm thinking that if you look at from any angle, is there any disagreement if Jesus come along and he did not receive a baptism from John the Baptist? How would that look? If people look at John the Baptist, well, you know, he did not baptize John and Jesus. I mean, would that present any negative? I don't know. I'm just raising what I can think of.
I think it's hard to deduce what would happen because Jesus was baptized. You know.
Right, I think
you confirm the work of John, right? You don't have to read it. I mean, you have verses to pick up. If you read the, we turn to John chapter 1. I think he actually introduced people to Jesus, right? Yeah. First, which verse is that?
then.
31, is that?
No, no, he actually asked them to go and join Jesus. Sorry?
36 and 37?
36, 37. And looking Jesus as wolf, he said, behold the Lamb of God, who took the hurt him and speak and follow you. You say you paved the way, I think this is more appropriate because like he introduced. Okay.
You know, before that, from 19, the Jews were actually questioning John why he was baptizing.
Yes.
So in 25 he says, and they asked him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet? Then John basically says that he baptizes with water. So perhaps it does link in that, you know, they were questioning John the Baptist's authority to baptize. And after Jesus came to him, in some ways you could say it validated who John was and John's authority to baptize.
I still don't see the connection. It's okay. Sorry.
It's
alright.
Okay.
But, so apart from this, any other reasons that we can get it from the gospel concerning the baptism of Jesus? Why he was baptized? Okay. But if not, after we come to the questions. Shall I just get some of these answers? First one is baptism is only a public declaration to show others that one has accepted Christ. So it's like, you know, it's not really something very important. We know that many Christians believe baptism is only a symbol or whatever, it's a part of baptism. So when you are baptized, like publicly, you know, you make yourself known to others that do not are Christians. Okay, and so I think for some say that the baptism serves like that function. So what is on to be, how do you explain to whoever proposes this? So, as I said, is it wrong to say that baptism is a public declaration to allow people to know that you have accepted Christ? That statement, is it wrong? Forget about the word only for the time being. Baptism is a declaration of you having accepted Christ, or one having accepted Christ. Is that a true statement, or is it an inaccurate belief? What do you think?
Correct statement, but it's not all of it.
It's not all of it.
Yeah.
How do you think it's correct? Why do you say it's correct?
Because you won't get baptized. Most people wouldn't get baptized unless they wanted to.
Jesus revealing something. Okay. Actually, it's true. It's by baptism that you are called the child of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah,
but, You know, for me, you know, when I try to answer a question or try to explain a point, I'll do my very best to try to create a common ground. You know, try to agree with whoever the person is. Obviously, we cannot compromise the truth, okay? If that is a point, okay, we don't compromise the truth. But we do our best, yeah, you know, to find a common ground so that we can build on, you know, discussion. Right? No, I think like what we said, that Jesus' baptism is one example, because it's like, even though the nature of Christ's baptism is slightly different from our baptism here, because the baptism of Jesus is to allow himself to be known by the nation of Israel, but he is like a savior, you know, he is there to save, right? And that's why Christ has to be known, made known, right? But I think in our case, it's slightly different. You know, baptism obviously confirmed that we, you know, we are shown of God. So in a way, it's to tell people that look, Christians, right? But has been said, baptism actually goes beyond that, right? So, probably, you know, you can tie in, if you want to, you can tie in the first point to explain, to fulfill all righteousness, because baptism is the only way by which, you know, we are made righteous. So it's more than just a way to inform people that now you are Christian. Okay? Obviously, you know, there's no right and wrong answers. As long as you quote the scriptures in support of your belief, then I believe that is a good answer. Right? Now, you can even talk about baptism being, has to do with rebirth, born again. It's one of the two requirements of my way to tie that in to explain. Okay? Is all right. So, any more to supplement or to add on? I think you know, baptism can be a form of, you know, decoration, but it may not be. You know the jailer and they were baptized at night. You know, like, you know, in the island in China, in the early phase of the church. Because they were afraid of the authority, they baptized people at night or during rainy time or rainy season or whatever. So it's not that hiding away from authority. So it can be, you know what I'm saying, it can be. That's why it goes beyond that. But at least baptism confirmed to the person who received baptism that now he or she is a Christian. He or she is a Christian. Okay, next question. Anything to add on? No?
Are you able to say why other Christians believe that? On what, you know, like, why they believe that? Is it to do with Peter? Why do they believe that it's just a... Or have you said it because of Jesus' baptism?
I don't really know the answer. Why they believe that? I think they have been taught that way. They have been told, instructed that way. So that is the reason given to them. To justify the baptism. Okay, the next question, I think I have shown you before. Okay, I want you to read Mark first, chapter 1. to be not. Let me see this one. So this is the argument, okay? Verse 15. Okay, he says, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. Yeah? Now, so some people say, you know, conversion occurs at the point of repentance. So, since we know that repentance must come before baptism, just like Peter says, repent and be baptized. And therefore, some people say that baptism, you know, when someone repented, it's like baptism has already happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? And therefore, baptism is not important. Because many people believe that conversion is the most important thing. Conversion. So, they said, again, I rephrase my question. As conversion takes place in repentance, it must come before baptism. Repent and be baptized. Right? So, it's not baptism of what has already taken place, therefore baptism is not important. If you read chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Remember, I think I roughly touched on this the other day for some reason. How can you prove that when does conversion occur in the life of a believer? When does it happen? When does it happen? Okay, the other point is, the other point I want to bring to your attention is when you talk to people, try your best not to contradict doesn't too much. You get what I'm saying? There's no point. You know, if one guy shows you a verse you cannot answer, you show him another verse. You know, just to make sure that he also cannot answer. It's like you build up, you know, enmity. You're not answering a question. So try not to contradict the person. I think, you know, when you contradict someone so much, it's not very pleasant. So, all right. Now, my point is, when does conversion take place?
Baptism.
Okay. Baptism. Can you? How do you come to that? Because we are talking about baptism, so it has to be baptism. Is that the reason?
Well, no, because I remember there's a verse in Acts where they were baptized and I think they had mentioned the word conversion, to be converted. So I'm thinking that it was.
Oh, everyone do a Google search.
So, chapter 3, verse 19 say, repent, therefore, and be converted.
Yes, that's the one.
Thank you.
Okay, chapter 2, right? Look at Acts chapter 2 first. Acts 2, again, yeah? Repent. And then what? Be baptized. And then forgiveness of sin, okay? And then chapter 3:19, repent. Be converted, yeah? And for your sin to be blotted out, something like that, you know? Yeah, again, forgiveness of sin. So, I think it's quite clear, right? Baptism here, right, is not equal to conversion. Meaning, yeah, you are converted at the point of baptism. Mm-hmm. Can you say one
thing? Can you use Ephesians 3, 4:22, and you just this is put off. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, you know, where it says putting off former conduct. Is that, can you use, maybe use that to support it? You don't have, maybe that's not the main verse.
Can you help?
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, just says, put off concerning your former conduct. It's like, you know, sacrifice, putting off this old man. And then 24 says, put off a new man. Can you use that too? That's not as right.
Is this passage talking about baptism? But for Paul, he's talking to the members. Is he not?
I've used that before to explain baptism.
Okay. So you still managed to bring some of the Christ. It's okay, it's no problem. No, I think because to me this passage is directed to the believers. Now how do we know? If you read verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. Yeah? If indeed you have heard blah 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 blah. You understand what I'm saying? So by looking at verse 20, we know that he is talking to the believers for some reason, maybe some of them, a certain section of the church, is declining the spirituality. Okay. We can turn to Acts of the Apostle, chapter 26. I think we also mentioned that verse. verse 18. And then we can also read verse 20. Okay, verse 18, to open the eyes in order to turn him to be converted. Mm-hmm. And from darkness to light and from the power to Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among those who are sanctified and faith in me. Verse 20. But declare first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do what's befitting repentance. Turn to God. If I remember correctly, again, this is conversion. Okay. So I think this is quite clear in the Bible. So conversion occurred. Point of baptism. Okay. Remember we mentioned about the core of the gospel, the main part of the gospel is about what? Remember?
Repentance and remission of sin.
Yes, what is this? Thank you. What is it recording?
Luke 24:47.
Yes. What book is that?
Luke.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We tell you that? The Gospel of Luke chapter 24, we read verse 47, yeah? And so here it talks about the call of the Gospel, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, right? No. Repentance. And remission of sin. Now, how does it come about? It is baptism. Okay. That's why when you come, when you read Acts chapter 2, baptize people in the name of Jesus, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. Okay? Right? Any more to add on? I'm not going to go on to the next question. Yeah? This one is a funny one.
Mm-hmm.
Baptism does not save us. It is a picture. It is an outward picture of an inward change. Thanks, Amy. I don't know what's going on.
The outward picture does not save us.
Okay, never mind. Baptism does not save us. It is a picture. Picture, you know picture?
Yeah.
It is an outward picture of an inward change. Outward picture. Okay.
So it's just a symbol? No,
yes. Okay. Make it very simple. So would you answer this? Can you think about a verse which talks about inward change? Baptism bring about inward change?
It's more about status, your status once you're baptized, rather than the automatic.
Like you're going to keep on a new lease of life, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Okay, we tend to go then. I'm going to repeat myself. Don't worry, I'm going to repeat. Okay, chapter 6, Romans. Therefore, we read verse 4 and then we read verse 6. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Is that not something dying worthy? When the sin is destroyed, sin is washed away.
Yeah.
Like the body of sin is done away with. You read verse 6. Yeah? Yeah, so that we are no longer, you know, slaves of sin. Sounds right? Is there not something with
it? Okay, but it doesn't mean that after you're baptized,
yeah,
that you have, it doesn't mean that it's automatic.
Yes, but you're no longer under the control,
yeah,
of sin, the shape of sin.
So,
yeah. That's why we need to keep ourselves in Jesus, yeah? We mean in Jesus. Okay. Everyone, we move on.
So, are you saying that's corrupt, that statement?
No. No. To me, it's not a picture. It's the process of salvation. Okay, look at something more interesting. Okay, I think this one is more theological. How is it possible for the application of water to accomplish the spiritual act of incorporating one into the body of Christ? How can that which is physical affect that which is spiritual? There are two questions.
Okay.
How is it possible for the application of water to accomplish the spiritual act of incorporating one into the body of Christ. Yes, what? What's your answer to that?
Short answer would be the physical, conducting something physically according to the instructions of God will bring about the spiritual change with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we just need to have faith and obedience.
That's the answer. You understand? Okay. Yeah, I think there are two points mentioned. First, Holy Spirit must be mentioned. And the other one is on. So on the part of the, what do you call someone who is receiving baptism? There's a term for it. What do you call it? You know the one who performed baptism, we call baptism.
Candidate.
Huh?
Candidate.
What candidate? There's a term for it. What do you call it?
Or baptism or baptism.
Okay.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, just for fun. Just to wake you up. We always use, when we were younger, back home, like, we always use baptismal candidate. But this movie sounds so formal. Now you're so lazy that the one who wants to get back. If you want to be a big man, use one of this. No, like what you said, you always can use some example, like 2 Kings 5, and then what? John chapter 9. We have obedience. On our part, there must be obedient for this spiritual effect and spiritual, for the work of God to take effect through human obedience. Okay. Next one. Are you interested in answering questions? But now, can one prove that Paul has not minimized the significance of baptism in 1 Corinthians 1:17? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. But this one, you have to answer it based on context. 1:17. 1 Corinthians. If you are ordained minister, you know, can you behave like Paul did? Say, no, I'm not forgetting. I guess someone is baptized. I'm not here to get baptized either. I'm here to preach. I'm here to lecture for them. You know, that's why some people say that Paul was trying to what do you call it? Undermine. Thank you very much. Too much food.
The significance of that.
Yeah. Now, do you think Paul emphasized the word of baptism? Okay. Can I ask you, when we talk about 1 Corinthians, what are the backgrounds to that? Okay, which book you need to read? Apart from 1 Corinthians, which other books you need to read? To know exactly what Paul has done in Corinth. Chapter 16. Close.
18.
18, yes. Okay, so did he baptize?
Yes.
Did he baptize? Yes, he did.
He did, yeah.
So for him to say that he came not to baptize, obviously there must be reasons. Yeah? Okay. Now, you read chapter 18. We read verse 8. Yeah? Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed upon the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So, I think it's quite clear that Paul, you know, must be the one who did the baptism. Mm-hmm. Now, coming back to 1 Corinthians 1:17. It's like he was so absent-minded, he could not remember whom he has baptized. Okay? If you read chapter 1, verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you except... He's lying. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Christus, Gaius. Lest anyone who said that, okay. Verse 16, yes, I also baptized the household of their fathers, besides I do not know whether I baptized any of them. He's suffering from some sort of amnesia or whatever. Okay. So, how would you answer that? Is Paul actually undermining the importance of baptism? So, why did he say that?
Point,
what is he trying to make?
He's trying to make a point in regards to division,
division
in the church, because
okay.
they were kind of having favoritism.
Favoritism?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you can read chapter 4. You read verse 15. Yeah? For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. In Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. You know, it's not yet, what is it also? We are going to read chapter 1, verse 15. But I think here it gives us the reasons, right? Lest anyone should say that I have baptized in my own name. It's like, you know, those who were baptized by Paul is like, they consider themselves to be under Paul or whatever, under the care of Paul or whatever. I think they have misunderstood the significance of that meaning. Right? I think in order to correct him, that's why Paul says that he came not to preach the gospel. Right? So, in a way, to allow them to understand that in the church, there shouldn't be cliques or whatever, or groups or groupings or whatever, because Christ is the one that we all should unite to. So I think he was trying to break down a kind of misconception that associated with baptism. It's not baptism itself is wrong, but I think people have not understood it correctly.